You're listening to Not Many of You Should Become Teachers, a podcast that explores the world of K-12 education as it intersects with the Christian faith. You might call us extreme moderates. We're skeptics who try not to be cynics and are allergic to cheap rhetoric. Welcome to the show.
That's the ice in my drink.
Happy summer, Riley.
It's summer, yeah. Summer school. I don't know what else to say about that, but I finished my first year of teaching ever.
How many minutes ago? Like, you've just walked over from the middle school.
It's been, let me just take a look at my watch. It's been 19 minutes since absolute freedom from the responsibilities of my classroom.
19 minutes into summer, just outside the window of our studio, the party bus just rolled by.
Yes. Graduates, taking graduates to the afterlife.
Into the afterlife, away they go.
There couldn't be a more suited vehicle than a party bus going into college
away
life.
Away they go. It was lovely, though, as I came in, Riley, with your Starbucks beverage that you didn't actually order. It got the wrong order, but it has ice.
I asked for a peach tea, and I got this iced peach tea lemonade, which is probably better.
Yeah, so I'm carrying it in, and you know, to hear the shouts of "Hey, Mr. McFarland!" and waving, and the grads in their gowns and all suited up. It's a special time of year, so we're saying goodbye and we're winding the regular year up. But man, we're gearing up for summer here.
Oh, big time! Yeah, as I finish this year. There's so much to take away. And I, you know, I was just thinking about this just a second ago in terms of like, man, first year teaching and then also able to start this podcast conversation with you. Like, that's such a takeaway here and something that I am looking forward to continuing and continue to grow. And just for me, there's so much joy and fun in what happens when we sit down here with the microphones and the voices that we get to engage. It's just such a refreshing conversation in a lot of ways that you have to wrestle with it. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's been a huge benefit for this year. So thank you for that as I exit my first year here.
Oh, that's awesome. So glad to be a part of it, even the few minutes of your newfound freedom. So the take doesn't get much fresher or hotter than this. So takeaways for you, like what sort of like a key takeaways you're like gonna drive away, walk away from the campus, whatever.
Yeah, walk away.
I'm
moving out of walking distance soon.
Yes,
to a retirement home.
So what are you taking with you?
What's your thoughts? There's so much, right? In a first year, there's so much. Like, the learning curve is so steep in a lot of ways this year. But I do recognize that, like, I really, well, at least in my interests, I really only am interested in becoming a better teacher as time goes on, not finding my plateau and to use these buzzwords like lifelong learning or being a lifelong learner as I continue to teach. That's something that I'm resonating with. And I even recognize that just as the year went on, when I think about different practices or instructions that I would give, or units that I'd create in Bible class specifically. So I try and think about things that really worked well. And I'm like, wow, that was so awesome to see that student engagement response. And then other things that were like, whoa, never doing that ever again, stuff like that. Or, but still worth the try. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just think about different approaches that I've used, and a lot of them were kind of bold, and I didn't really have a 100% grasp on, like, oh, is this going to work? Okay, let's try it. And playing around with stuff like that has been, it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, recognizing where we're going to go from here is just a really cool position to be in.
You mentioned buzzwords and this idea of wanting to sort of push beyond them, and there's a little bit of maybe fatigue with some of that. Even coming out of your first year, you said something. I can't remember if it was to me directly or it was something you tweeted out about buzzword pedagogy. Hey. Well, and you've mentioned this before about buzzword pedagogy with prayer.
Yeah,
is that your phrase?
Well, I think I had said something on the podcast about like pop culture pedagogy with Bible verses attached
right,
to them.
That's it, yeah.
But I much prefer the phrase to say that sometimes Christian ed can be viewed in the frame that it is buzzword pedagogy with prayer in the morning. And that's my mantra is my pedagogy should not be that, especially as I read more and more David I. Smith, I am so challenged by what my practice looks like in a Christian education setting. So those are my takeaways from my first year, just looking at what went well and what didn't. I guess, I don't know, I didn't really unpack a lot of that. That was a little bit cryptic, but I recognize, like for example, like in my, maybe I'll just give a couple examples real quick
go
here.
For it.
Like
yeah.
In the beginning of the year, I just tried to figure out, like, how do we teach Bible without preaching? Right? That's huge. If you have like a CP class and you're like, okay, I'm going to be at the front and you're going to take notes, or I'm going to be at the front and you're going to do this. So like, I asked myself, well, what are the students doing? Right? And I had the opportunity to try a stations approach to Bible, which was kind of interesting, but had definitely a lot of kinks that still needed to be worked out. And then I also remember introducing my students to Common Prayer, which was something that was really meaningful for me. And then giving them the opportunity to write their own liturgies was also very powerful as well.
So you were moving beyond some of the denominational or some of the modes that we often have here.
Yes.
And reaching into other parts of the Christian tradition.
Yes. Yeah. And as bold as I find that to be and as meaningful I find that to be for me, there were definitely some walls that I hit.
Of course. Yeah.
So recognizing that was kind of frustrating, but then not necessarily wanting to abandon it altogether and figuring out what that looks like. But something that I really appreciated was that in my own professional development of faith and learning, I was reading some N.T. Wright theology, and that was deeply influential in my unit on exile, on Babylonian exile, and looking at how Jesus comes to be the full manifestation of rescue when it comes to exile as a human condition, and then taking all those words that I just said and putting it into a grade 6 level unit. So
I was going to say there's that translation aspect to our work that is happening. You mentioned earlier on this podcast about all Christian teachers, Christian ed teachers, should be theologians or delving into theology, and then we have a responsibility to make that accessible, not dumb it down, but to translate it for what is developmentally appropriate for a 13, 14 year old.
Totally. I love that you said that, dumb it down, because so often we translate and say, well, it's actually just 4 easy points. This, like A, B, C, D. Now you understand.
And what gets lost in that, right?
Totally.
We just chuck it away.
And how often do we teach that up until grade 12, which you've used the word infantilization when we dumb things down. But I do believe in translation, and I think that in a lot of ways, my unit ended up being a bit of an NT Wright for kids, and I am fine with that. That was a huge positive.
Well, hopefully you get to interact with him a little bit, right? You're heading to a course soon.
Yeah, I'm going to be hanging out with N.T. Wright for a week, which is really exciting. Yeah. I'm so blessed that I get to just experience him for just moments, even though he has not yet to retire, but maybe retiring soon. So, yeah.
No, that's very special. So, yeah, I put a plug out for Regent College and their summer program. So we're doing summer school here on the podcast.
Yes.
And there's a lot. There's like public lectures too. I think we should see. I don't know.
I have tickets to the NT Wright.
And you got
It's free, but it's ticketed because so many people want to go.
Very good.
Yeah. And those are all often streamed on YouTube as well, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
But now a congratulations to you as you have now completed your first seminary course or courses or quarter. I don't know how it works at Fuller, but you've done something.
That's
congratulations.
Right. I have done something. That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, no, I finished the first course. I was taking one online course, Theology in the Public Sphere. And
which is good for when you're working in a private school.
Absolutely. I mean, that was some of the work. So that I was looking at was, what is the nature of when we talk about the public sphere or the public square? Is that synonymous with government? Is that synonymous with the state, etc.? So there's been some translation work that was happening there as well, because I saw so much overlap into social studies, saw a lot of overlap into, certainly, I mean, IB history, although that was sort of winding down, and I taught our senior level Bible course.
Excellent.
So much overlap.
Very cool. Now, I've given a lot of takeaways from my year, and obviously, you even have takeaways from seminary. I'm still getting there. But at the end of this year, the year end, where are you at with the summer? I'm sure you've had some interesting conversations with students. Actually, I know you have. Why don't you share a bit about that?
Yeah, first off, I would say I'm actually taking a quick break from jumping right back into a seminary course. I'm quote taking the summer off. Couple reasons for that. One, Fuller is on a quarter system, so there's not intensive, so it would just be straight back in. This would be week one of their summer quarter, and I've already got a stack of books for my courses that I'm teaching here at this school. And I'd like some space in the summer to read those for history, for some theology. And so that's part of my takeaway is I'm not rushing through this, right? I'd like to sort of to reflect on that. I do have to mention, even just in reflection on the year, is also projecting for me into what's coming.
The new year.
So I had this opportunity to sit down with some of our new chapel leadership. Our listeners will recall Jacob and Tessa. They came on the show. So I don't know if they're on that party bus that went by.
It was cool to watch them walk across the stage last night.
Last night, yeah. was the ceremony. Tessa and Jacob they've passed the baton. And anyway, I met some of the new chapel leadership that's coming in next year. And honestly, I didn't realize, Riley, that I was... to use our own language, you know, try not to be skeptical, but just deflated would be too strong of a word. But you feel a little bit winded at the end of June.
Yeah,
it's a flurry just to bring the whole thing in, and I didn't realize that I just wasn't in a space to start like dreaming or thinking about the next year. Like that's just not the rhythm that I'm in. So I wasn't overly excited, to be completely honest, to sit down for a couple hours with the chapel leadership team for next year.
And you said that in the nicest way possible.
Is that?
I love that.
I think that that was my diplomatic way of framing it for them. But as I sat there, and I didn't have to do much talking, I was a little bit of prompting, listening to them, and they were asking the questions about what we do, why we do what we do, at a level that it almost knocked me off my chair, because I was like, oh, this is amazing that our students are at this level. And to go back to that, like infantilize, I don't think it has to be this rigid top down. Like we call this faith and learning. We're all the learners in this, in education. There's the component of teaching, but we're learning alongside. And I just love that, those moments. So I felt, you know, that in late June, remarkably refreshed and grateful, like just a sense of like, wow, we've got something really awesome here. It's easy to tear a strip off stuff and complain all the time. That was a wonderful moment to remind me, oh, we're heading into something good next year as well.
That's such an encouraging way to end the school year, even when feeling not deflated, as you said, but just feeling June. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, that's it. Summer school season one. You're kind of like, oh, what? It's so short. Man, it's the summer. We don't have time to go too deep. Go get an iced tea and relax at the beach and wait for episode two, which will come out sooner or later. It's summer. We're relaxed. So I hope you enjoyed this. If you did enjoy this episode, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. That's just the biggest thing you could do for us. Share it with your friends who are working in independent Christian education. And be sure to reach out on Twitter. First, you got to get Twitter. I've mentioned this, I think, in our season finale, but we need more people on Twitter that just want to talk about this really important conversation. So you can find us at Not Many of You, and all of our episodes, show notes, soon to be resources, and blog are all on our website, notmanyofyou.com. Have a great summer. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.